Great, great. Thank you so much. We'll have the Marshall call court in session.
Good morning. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is back in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Gaetis, Judge John Smith, the Honorable Judge Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is January 27, 2022. We have four cases on our calendar this morning, and we're here on the third case, A210980, in the matter of Feeding Our Future, denial of application for additional CACFP sites. Counsel, just a few housekeeping matters before we begin. Everyone's connection has been tested. I ask that you mute your microphone when you are not speaking. The marshal is showing a running clock of your time. You will each have 15 minutes for your primary argument, and the appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. And finally, I ask that you identify yourself and your client before you begin speaking. With that, counsel, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning. May it please the court, my name is Reethed Watkins. I'm counsel on behalf of Feeding Our Future. And we have filed this appeal with the request that the Court of Appeals reverse MDE's July 14th, 2021 decision and remand its denials for proceedings in accordance with federal law. And specifically, what we believe MDE failed to do is, number one, provide sufficient basis for its decision. It did not explain how or why it made the decisions that it made. It did not allow Feeding Our Future the right to review the basis for that decision and respond to it as required by federal regulations, specifically 7 CFR 225.13B3.
Counsel, can I ask you, We've been made aware that in the companion case that Feeding Our Future's license has been terminated by the Minnesota Attorney General's office. And that makes me question whether there's any possible relief that Feeding Our Future can achieve in this appeal. Can you explain why this appeal is not moot?
I certainly can. I'll just start by noting there has been a motion to dismiss filed in this case as well as the companion case. A response was filed very late last night and accepted early this morning. Don't know.
I saw it.
Okay. And so in short, Your Honor, I think it breaks down to two things. First of all, MDE has not taken a final agency action, as we point out.
Why is that relevant? I mean, the agency has terminated Feeding Our Future. And the fact that it hasn't become a final decision where all of the appellate procedures have been exhausted doesn't negate the fact that you currently don't have a license.
I don't know that that's true. So first of all, we're not a licensed entity. We don't have a license. What we have is a contract with the state. And my understanding is that the termination is not final. And they've done this before. And so this happened as well in March of 2021. They issued a notice of proposed termination and they withdrew that. And in the process, they were still approving sites. They were still approving participation and the function of the state of the sponsor continued unencumbered by that. So that's the first primary response.
So the contract's been canceled, right?
I don't believe that's the case, Your Honor. I take a different position. I think they've taken the first step towards canceling the contract, but according to federal regulations, they cannot do that without first providing us a hearing.
Well, an opportunity for a hearing if you want right. that.
Exactly correct.
Have you appealed?
The appellate time is not run yet, Your Honor, and I'm not representing Feeding Our Future on that matter.
So the answer is no, there's been no appeal.
There's been no appeal yet, but the clock is not run yet. As far as I know, there may have been. I may be unaware of it, but I'm not aware of an appeal being filed. Their deadline to file the appeal is not exhausted.
So what relief? So the termination has occurred. There's been no appeal. What relief can we order under these circumstances?
So again, we do take a different view. Again, I don't think the termination has taken effect. And under federal regulations, it cannot take effect until that appeal hearing happens. But setting all of that aside, Your Honor, the second reason is because this is about the sites. It's not about the sponsor. And that's part of our complaint here overall is that MDE inappropriately lumped sites together with the sponsor's applications. And that's not appropriate to be done. These sites are what are really appealing. But because of MDE's procedures, they have denied the sites the right to participate in this process.
So but, Mr. Watkins, aren't some of those sites that are also under investigation, at least according to the search warrant that was filed along with the motion to dismiss? And so wouldn't that sort of further moot the issue?
I don't know, again, it would be the same issue with response to those individual sites, but therein again lies part of the problem, which is that all of these different people have been lumped in together, despite there being no, there's no factual or legal basis to do so. They're very different sites, and yet they're being treated the same just because there's an investigation into some sites. That's exactly the problem, is the due process aspect. So why are some sites being denied, now being denied the right to appeal, because MDE lumped them in with other sites that ended up under investigation a year later? That's exactly our fundamental problem. So again, to be very clear, we're not asking that anybody should be approved. We're simply saying that if MDE has grounds to deny them, they should deny them. It should go back.
Along the lines of mootness, you know, the search warrant application aside, one of the challenges in the case that's before us is the denial of the site application of Stewart Park. And there's an argument that that was based on misrepresentation. And I'm wondering whether that is also mooted because Stewart Park, according to documents presented by the Department of Education, was ultimately given a permission to operate as a site.
So we don't think that it is, Your Honor, and specifically because, again, they didn't reverse their decision, they didn't amend their decision, they didn't modify their decision. So that still has implications for Stewart Park, and specifically it has civil rights attached to that. It has the right to be approved and the right to participate and the right to a finding that it always had the ability and permission to participate. So subsequently granting the right to participate later in time doesn't in any way change what happened for those months and months in which their application sat and then was wrongly denied under false representations.
So they still have the, but what remedy can you achieve through this appeal with respect to that site?
An establishment of their rights, an establishment of the right to submit an application and to understand why you were denied and to be told honestly why you were denied and not have.
And how do you acquire that? I mean, you've already been approved for that site.
Well, and again,
what obligation is there for MDE to in this procedure give you what you say that you want now? I mean, that may be available in a different action that may or may not have been commenced already, but how do you get it in this one?
Well, and again, part of the issue is this particular summer application that was submitted. I don't have evidence in the record to suggest that they were retroactively approved for this particular summer or that MDE addressed its decision. If MDE had said, we're rectifying our decision that's on appeal, or we're amending our decision and we're reversing our denial and we're now approving it, if they had done that as part of the decision that's on appeal, they'd have a much stronger case, but they haven't. My understanding is
your challenge is also based on things that are outside of the record that were obtained in the course of the district court litigation, right? So I'm just wondering, you know, is what's good for the goose good for the gander? I mean, can we consider your new materials and the state's materials, none of it? You know, if we're just limited to the record here, what basis do we have to find there was any misrepresentation?
Well, that's certainly our point, Your Honor, is that they didn't provide anything. So again, the federal regulations require you to provide the basis for the decision. MDE didn't do that. What we've established is that there's obviously and clearly harm from that, because they misrepresented the record at the hearing, and they did so intentionally, and that's problematic. And whatever we may think of the sponsor or whatever we may think of unrelated sites, due process should come first, and the state agency should not be allowed to hide evidence or misrepresent evidence or violate federal regulations. That's what's before this court, and that's only what's before this court.
I mean, counsel, you're making a lot of very broad and general claims for relief that you're asserting that belong to Feeding Our Future, given what the state did or didn't do. But I'm not sure that you can acquire any of those remedies in this action. Can you explain how it is that you can obtain relief for these violations in this particular case? I mean, is this just an administrative appeal?
It's an administrative appeal in which they violated the federal law, Your Honor. And that's the relief we're seeking, is a fair administrative hearing. That's all we want. It's not broad. It's specific, and it's limited to specific federal regulations. 225.13A and B3. And the basis for it is to simply say, if you're going to deny an application, you have to follow the law and provide the basis for the denial so we can have a hearing on that. That's all. So the only relief we're requesting is a hearing on the evidence, is a hearing knowing why you denied us, having that spelled out. And if there are new grounds for denial that occurred in January of this year, those are absolutely fair for MDE to put those in there as well. And there's no preclusion on them doing so. But the point is a simple one. We have a right to a fair hearing. The federal regulations establish that. And a fair hearing is one under the federal regulations in which you provide the basis for your decision. You do not get to hide the facts. You do not get to misrepresent the facts. And when the state agency does, we're entitled to a new hearing. And that's all we're asking for. Very specific, very narrow relief of a hearing in accordance with the federal law. I mean, to me, it's a very simple question of due process, of compliance with the federal regulations. And that's that relief would entitle Feeding Our Future and those sites to submit applications. So now those applications, once complete, as I've pointed out in our response, may well be with a different sponsor. They may well address some of these concerns. But we're putting the cart before the horse by saying you can't possibly overcome allegations you haven't seen in a forum you haven't been provided.
So I'm going to go back to my original question. So what you're saying now is that you want us to remand this for a hearing. And I'm not sure that's possible given the January 20 letter from the Minnesota Department of Education, which says the permanent agreement is terminated effective immediately. So I don't know that even if there that you could have a hearing when your permanent agreement has been terminated effective immediately.
And I guess my response to that, again, is it's just premature to make that determination. We cannot sit today and deprive Feeding Our Future of its appellate rights, the federal regulations that entitle it to a hearing on that issue. So I agree with Your Honor. If that stands, that would be an additional basis to deny the applications, and MDE would be well within its rights to do so. But it cannot put the cart before the horse. It cannot put the decision before the process.
Why are we putting the cart before the horse when the agreement has been terminated, effective immediately? There's no appeal of that decision, and there's no motion to stay in this case.
Well, Your Honor, because the appeal process hasn't lapsed. They still have time to file the appeal. I don't know if they have or not. Again, I don't rep them on that. My point is the appeal process, the appeal time period, hasn't yet lapsed. They have time to file that appeal. And I'll just back it up. Let's just be very clear. Again, on March 29th, 2021, MDE did the same thing. They terminated Feeding Our Future. They withdrew that termination. And all through that process, sites were approved and Feeding Our Future continued working through MDE. Their rights were reserved. They asserted their rights. They challenged the allegations and they prevailed. And they have the same rights to that same process. And it's unfair for this court or MDE to make snap judgments and call its decision, its termination, final when it's not. It's unfair to say the effect of that is these applications for sites that have no relation to any of that are being denied. So they don't get a chance to hear a hearing on the evidence. They may submit with a different sponsor. They have that right too. So their rights are now being sort of circumvented because of unrelated sites and an unrelated sponsor. That's just not the process. What's the harm to MDE?
Is there some authority that supports the proposition that the entire appellate process must become final for it to become effective? I mean, the letter from the MDE says that the termination is effective immediately, which is different than the proposition that you're arguing. So I'm not aware of any authority in the due process context that requires the decision to become final, to become effective.
Well, it's not the agency action, first of all. But second of all, the federal regulations on the CACF and SFSP programs are specific. And they do say, for example, you cannot stop funding until you have a determination on a hearing in front of a fair officer that there was fraud and that fraud actually happened. You cannot stop payments on an allegation. That issue has been litigated and decided in Feeding Our Future's favor in the state court action.
What's the citation for that
I don't have it handy, Your Honor, but I'm happy to provide it to the court. And it is in the state court briefing, and it was.
Maybe you can do that on rebuttal.
I will. Thank you. But again, that's sort of the point here is there's no harm to MDE in providing these sites with a fair hearing. If they have grounds to deny it, and they're arguing that they do, they're entitled to assert those grounds for denial.
And is the requirement that a fair hearing occur before the termination, or is it the or is the requirement that you provide an opportunity for a hearing to challenge the decision to terminate?
My understanding is that the fair hearing is a part of the termination, and the site cannot be terminated in the absence of that fair hearing. So that's our understanding, because it has to be a final agency action. That's what federal regulations require. And I'll look for that on the response. But that's effectively our position. If the case is remanded, they're entitled to deny for any grounds that they want, and those issues should be given the proper process. But to deny it now is simply premature. I thank you, and I'll look for that site.
All right. Thank you, counsel. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. We'll reset the clock for you, Mr. Sloan. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Alex Sloan on behalf of Minnesota Department of Education. So I'll begin with the mootness issue that the court was focusing on during Mr. Watkins' argument. One of the points of confusion here is Mr. Watkins is conflating proposed terminations with actual terminations. What happened on March 29th of 2021 was a notice of proposed termination. And what that said is, Feeding Our Future, you're seriously deficient, proposing termination, and if you don't take corrective action by, I believe the date was April 30th, so it was about a month out, then there will be a termination. In this case, on the evidence of fraud, we had a termination effective immediately.
You have to provide a hearing before you terminate through the CFR?
Not in these circumstances. There are different rules when there is fraud, I believe. So, you know, when it's a serious deficiency, as in that one, I think the main issue in March was that Feeding Our Future had let its nonprofit status lapse and then misrepresented that fact to MDE. So under that sort of circumstance, I believe it was required to give Feeding Our Future the opportunity for corrective action, which it eventually took. There are different rules for a couple situations. One is where there's a safety issue to the kids participating, and another is where there is are fraudulent claims being submitted. The evidence here is that there were fraudulent claims being submitted. And so it
Could you cite us to some authority for that proposition?
Sure, Your Honor. I will find that.
I mean, the letter from MDE cites 7 CFR 226.6C. I received this maybe like 20 minutes before the argument, so I have not had a chance to look at it in detail.
So yes, I've got, I believe, 7 CFR 226.6C5 Romanet 2 draws the distinction where there's knowing submission of false or fraudulent claims.
Could you give me that? I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
Yes,
7 CFR 226?
226.6C5 Romanet 2. And there are also provisions for immediate ceasing of payment to any to Feeding Our Future in this case. And the stand there is where there's reason to believe that the institution has engaged in unlawful acts with respect to program operations. For the summer food program, that citation is 7 CFR 225.9D, as in dog, 10. And those are a couple distinctions between what was gone in March of 2021 and what's going on in January of 2022.
So your claim is that under the present circumstances, the process that is due to Feeding Our Future following this immediately effective termination of the agreement is that they can submit an appeal through the regular appellate process available with the MDE. Is that right?
Absolutely correct. Yes.
And that unless and until that time, and unless and until they achieve relief through that process, if at all, you're not doing any business with them. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
So there's no possible relief that we can give Feeding Our Future unless and until it achieves a positive outcome through the regular appellate process available to it by the MDE. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay. So I also want to address the site versus sponsor issue. Mr. Watkins made reference to not being able to deny site applications on the basis of sponsor status. In the federal regulations, sites, unless they are self-sponsoring, in which case they wear two hats, sites cannot submit applications. Sponsors submit applications for sites. Site applications have to have a sponsor involved. Nothing that MDE has done would prevent one of the denied sites from applying with a different sponsor, at which point it could potentially, if it checks all the boxes, participate in the program that it desires. This is all, just from federal regulations. The sponsor is an integral part of the site application, and right now is a site application with Feeding Our Future as its sponsor simply cannot go through because Feeding Our Future is not a sponsor anymore as of last week. And then as far as the Stewart Park site, I also just want to reiterate that that site has already received any relief that this court would be able to grant. The relief this court can grant is to say, MDE, you need to approve Stewart Park on the facts you found as a matter of law. It qualifies. Approve its application. It's already operating under the site. It's received the maximum relief that this court could possibly grant. So I believe that one is moot as well for the separate independent reason. Now I will, move on to the substance of the appeals, unless the court has further questions about mootness. So on the with respect to the Stewart Park site, which is the only one where we have a substantive argument from Feeding Our Future that the decision was wrong. The MDE consistently requires property owner permission for a proposed food program site. Realtor has represented to MDE that it always obtains that kind of permission. That's in the record at page 39. And there is no dispute that Feeding Our Future had permission from the Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board to operate a youth soccer program at Stewart Park. There's no dispute that it did not have specific permission to operate a summer food site at Stewart Park. All of the evidence indicates that the Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board requires a license to operate a summer food site at Stewart Park. The letter that Feeding Our Future submitted from Parks Commissioner after the administrative appellate panel made its decision states as much. It says, I looked into it with our licensing department. They looked at your information and it looks like you're eligible. You now have permission to operated our park. That's great. That's why MDE subsequently approved Stewart Park to start operating summer food site there. But it also confirms that Feeding Our Future did not have, that a license was necessary and that Feeding Our Future did not have it. And Feeding Our Future never took the position that it had a license. It only took the position that it didn't need one. And that's that goes against what's indicated there, that a license is required and that they were giving permission effective July 14th when that letter was sent. And then Feeding Our Future also challenges the other site denials on procedural due process grounds. The main contention seems to be that there were 16 site applications given one hearing. There's nothing in the federal regulations that requires each site denial to have its own hearing. And there's no showing that combining these caused any prejudice. There were exactly two issues in those 16 sites. 15 of them were denied on the exact same relevant facts and the exact same law. Relator had two sets of facts to argue and two sets of law to argue, none of them complicated. Has made no showing, let alone allegation, that the procedures were insufficient to cover two issues. He received unlimited written submissions, 10 uninterrupted minutes to argue, 10 more minutes to answer questions from the appellate panel, and 5 more minutes to argue. That's 25 total minutes of argument and unlimited written submissions, which is 5 minutes more than an appellant gets at this court, often for more than two issues, often for more complicated issues than were at issue there. There's simply no showing that there was any prejudice from the procedures provided. And unless the panel has any additional questions, I think I will simply ask the panel to first to dismiss this appeal as moot, and if it reaches the merits, to uphold the Minnesota Department of Education's determination. And I'll cede the rest of my time. Thank you, Your Honors.
I just want to ask, I'm kind of paging through the CFR here a little bit, and I'm questioning whether you can actually terminate without providing a notice of termination before you terminate.
I think.
Can you talk about that procedure?
Sure. I believe they have to be simultaneous. So I think there has to be a notice of termination provided, but I believe under the regulations, and I will pull those up now, that those are supposed to be simultaneous under these circumstances. See if I can find that citation.
I mean, I will say that the CFR is not a model of clarity. And it's very challenging to navigate this. And so
search the word citation rather than simultaneous.
And then my next question, given that all of this has sort of unfolded in the last 72 hours, as far as we're concerned, for the submissions to our court, whether you think additional briefing is appropriate on this issue?
I don't think it's necessary, Your Honor. I think the parties have made their positions pretty clear on the briefs submitted so far. Also, we're planning to submit a reply to Mr. Watkins' brief. I believe it's going to be due on Monday, next week. We're planning to file a reply. In fact, I think it might make sense, rather than me paging through in the next minute, the CFR, to just make sure to address this issue. I would have no problem with it if Mr. Watkins wanted to file a reply address the sort of that new issue of this the sequence in which the notice of termination and the termination itself occur. But I will certainly be sure to address that in the briefing that I submit next week.
All right, thank you. Anything else from the panel this morning? All right, thank you very much, counsel. We'll reset the clock for rebuttal. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I'll just start by directing the court to the memo that I was referring to. So this is a publicly available document on the USDA website. It's a March 1, 2002 USDA policy memo. The subject is use of stop pays in the child and adult care food program. And what it specifically says, it says that suspension of payments can only occur after the institution has been declared seriously deficient and provided an opportunity to take corrective action, and after a suspension review official has found the preponderance of the evidence suggests that the institution knowingly submitted a false or fraudulent claim.
I mean, looking at the CFR itself, it does, as Mr. Sloan indicated, differentiate between different types of termination. And it does provide that fraud, claims of fraud or misrepresentation, fall into a different category. So it's not clear to me that the memo that you're referring to makes that distinction. I certainly agree with you that in cases where the allegations are not as serious as those arising to threatening the health or safety of the children that are participating in these programs or aren't the nature of fraud or misrepresentation, that you would be entitled to that process that you're describing. At least that's my review of the CFR to date. But the CFR, as I read it now, does not require that those kinds of steps in these cases. Does the memo make that distinction?
The memo is specifically talking about a suspension on the basis of false or fraudulent claims. That's directly what it's addressing. So it says, if that's the allegation of false, of intentional submission of false or fraudulent claims, the memo is very clear that they can only do that after providing the evidence, allowing a corrective action, and after a suspension review official has found that the preponderance of the evidence suggests that the institution knowingly submitted a false or fraudulent claim. And that
latter, doesn't cite a provision of the CFR that indicates that?
No, what this is it's referring to the CFR more broadly, but it's explaining how the stop pays work under the USDA's guidance. So it's a policy guidance document released by the USA describing how it intends and understands the policy to be, or the regulations to be effectuated.
Is this a stop pay situation, though? I guess it's my question.
It's both, Your Honor. And that's exactly what MDE said. So that you can't have, their letter is a stop pay, and I read it as a proposed termination. And it's a termination that's not yet being finalized because they haven't presented any evidence of any wrongdoing. They've presented evidence of an allegation of an investigation, but they've not presented any evidence of the wrongdoing. They've not described what that evidence is. They've not provided us the opportunity to respond. So they cannot unilaterally terminate that contract without providing us those procedural steps. We think that the suspension of pay is part of that. It's part of the decision. It's part of what they've said. And all of those are part and parcel of the same thing. So we read them as at least the same.
But aren't they independent? I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead, Judge Bates.
I was just going to ask Mr. Watkins whether he agrees with Mr. Sloan that given the events that have transpired in the days before this argument, the supplemental briefing might be appropriate.
Your Honors, I don't know that there's a lot more in the federal regulations to gain. I believe it probably is as fully briefed as it could be. And I think the court understands the issue as well as they can be articulated.
So, Mr. Watkins, when I look at the termination letter or the January 20th letter, it looks to me that there's a term. The basis of the termination is the alleged allegations of fraud or misrepresentation. And then in addition to that, the state agency has reason to believe that Feeding Our Future is engaged in unlawful acts, and it will also be stopping payment. So it seems like there are two different bases set forth in the letter.
There are, they're not two different bases as far as I understand the letter. They're all stemming from the exact same thing.
I'm sorry, two different bases for termination.
Well, I don't believe so, Your Honor. I read it differently. I could be wrong, but I read it and understood that they were basing it solely on the same piece of information. And that's what happened on January 20th. They're not basing either decision on different grounds.
I think my question was inartful. I meant two different bases in the CFR. There are two different mechanisms within the... No, it's my fault. I was not clear. You can go ahead and answer.
So just to answer, I do think that that's true. But again, our argument is a stop pay is a less drastic measure than termination. So what applies to a stop pay must necessarily equally apply to the termination. And I agree, it's just not well spelled out clearly in the CFR. But our position is they've done this before. They withdrew it before. If this had become final, it would be in a very different position than where we are today. And I do think as well, I'll leave it with this, the sites matter here. And there's a lot of sites that have been wrapped up in this without any basis, without any connection whatsoever. Those sites should be allowed the opportunity to submit applications and have them reviewed with us or with anybody else. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much, John.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel. Your time has expired. We'll take the matter under advisement. It's been submitted, and we will issue our opinion within the statutory time period. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we will stand in recess.